Hi, and welcome to the Well Read Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion on books and reading. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Anne.
And we are librarians who love to read and talk about books. And today is our spring book preview for 2024. We typically have been doing these twice a year, but now we are scaling that up, scaling that back. I can't think of the right phrase, but we are expanding it. We are going to be doing them three times a year to try to hit the big publishing seasons because we always struggled. We had so many options when we only did it twice a year. So we are increasing our frequency. So today's are going to cover March, April, and May releases.
Yes.
How do you feel about this spring book season?
Well, there was no problem finding plenty of stuff. So there's, it just keeps getting better.
I know. There are so many books I'm looking forward to in the next few months. And then I think I'll feel the exact same when we do this over the summer. This is feeling right. Like a very strong book publishing year, I think.
Right. I'm really glad because we used to do spring and summer together.
Right.
And so I'm really glad that we decided to break that out because I know every single time we would say, oh my gosh, I just can't. I could have switched out this entire list with with another eight books.
Right.
And so now it feels a little less like we're having to choose between children.
It does.
But yeah, there's so many things to get excited about and so many authors that are like, oh, I read one of their books last year, and now they're having their next book that's actually a good part of my list is authors that I've loved one of their books in the past that now they have their second book coming out. It's so much fun to sort of be riding that train with them. So
my list is almost entirely made up of those sorts of authors as well. And it was funny just the other day, I was thinking, here's the problem. Here's where I get too many books, too little time mentality. Because every time I find a new author, I think to myself, oh yeah, I'm so excited to read whatever they come out with next. And that just keeps growing and growing and growing. There are very few authors that I read and I think, oh no, I never want to read anything by them again.
So
I just keep adding to my metaphorical pile of books or physical, literal pile sometimes. But yeah, it's fun to have, I have at least one author where I read a book last year and loved it so much. And so very excited to see what they do next.
Yeah. Do you ever, this is not really on topic, but do you ever have this impression that you're going to get to a clean slate with books?
Oh, like, yes. Yes. I have this complete delusion.
Yeah.
That at some point I'm going to read all of the books that I have. I mean, we've talked about this plenty of times, but the physical books that I have I look around my library or my bookshelves and I truly want to read all of those books. I don't look at them and think, oh no, these aren't interesting to me anymore. I still want to read them. And I don't know, retirement maybe I'm thinking that I'll be able to, but even that I'm sure not, because that's however many more years of accumulating books that I want to read.
Right.
But
I definitely have this idea of at some point my shelves will just be books I've read and nothing that new. Will be. Yeah. And I don't, that's, I know that's not real.
Well, it's interesting. So I'm sure many of the people listening also listen to the podcast, What Should I Read Next with Anne Bogle. And she has people come on and talk about their reading lives, and she recommends books to them, but she sort of has a conversation with them first about anything they're trying to change in their reading lives or what they wish could be different about their reading lives. And several times, I think now at this point, she has recommended, I'm trying to think how she says it. I think she calls it TBR bankruptcy or something like that, declaring bankruptcy, where you just basically clear out your entire TBR, especially on Goodreads, like a digital TBR, and just starting from scratch. Because I mean, I know I have over 1,000 books on my Goodreads to read list, and at no point am I going to get through all 1,000. And there are times that I go through and cull and pull out books, especially if I can't remember why I wanted to read them, I'll just pull them off. But that's sort of an intriguing idea. Now, I don't think I could do that with physical books, I don't think I could just go through and get rid of all my books that I haven't read yet, because I do want to read all of them or the majority of them. But it's an intriguing idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Just a side thing.
Yeah. But. Okay. Well, tell me your first one you're excited for.
Okay. First is The Silver Bone by Andrei Kirkov, and that comes out on March 5th. And this author is being billed as the Ukrainian Stieg Larsson, which I thought sounded completely fascinating. So this is a book that's set in Kyiv in 1919, and it's about a rookie detective named Samson Kolechko, and he is tackling his first case. So at this point in history, World War One is over, but in the West, but in Ukraine, it's still kind of in the midst of conflict, because various governments are vying for control over that territory. And so Samson Kolechko is just a regular guy whose house has been commandeered by Russian soldiers, and he overhears some of their secret plans. And when he reports those to the police, they recruit him to the force. And so he is immediately out of his depth, because they task him with solving a murder investigation that involves a bone that is made out of silver. And that just sounds weird to me. So I was intrigued by that. I love literary mysteries and I love Ukraine. And so I think this just sounds very, very interesting to me personally. And that is The Silver Bone by Andrei Kirkov.
That does sound interesting. And that Stieg Larsson comparison for sure makes my ears perk up.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot more that I could have said about this based on the description. But it sounds like he has a love interest sort of the Lisbeth Salander character in this plot. So, but I wasn't sure how prevalent it is based on the description. So, it sounds very, very intriguing.
Awesome. My first one is The Great Divide by Christina Enriquez. And this came out last week, March 5th. So you can get your hot little hands on it if you want. Christina Enriquez wrote The Book of Unknown Americans, which came out 10 years ago in 2014. And I remember reading it at the time. In fact, it's possible I even talked about it on the podcast at the time, if we had a podcast then, because I remember being really, I think we did. But I remember being very impressed by it and feeling like not a lot of people were talking about it. Although I do think it was a nominee for the Goodreads, either debut fiction. No, I don't think this was her debut. So it must have been just the general fiction category. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, clearly people were paying attention to it, but I didn't hear many people talking about it. But I really liked it. I thought it was really well done and interesting and topical, and have sort of kept that in the back of my mind ever since. So this one is historical fiction, and I'm trying to read more historical fiction this year, as we've talked about. I'm excited that here's an author I know I really like, and it's historical fiction. It's set in the early 1900s and is about the construction of the Panama Canal. And it sounds like it brings together a whole bunch of people who don't know each other, strangers to each other, but they all have some connection to the fact that this canal is being built. So they either come there from other places because they need workers, or their lives are being disrupted because they are residents of Panama and the canal is going to change their way of life. And I always love those kind of books where it's all these different threads that come together. It just sounds right up my alley. So that is The Great Divide by Christina Enriquez.
That does sound good. Next is The Mystery Writer by Solari Gentile, and that comes out on March 19th. I adored her last book, which was The Woman in the Library, and I think she's doing really interesting things within the rules of the mystery genre. And so this one sounds like it's in the same vein. It's about an attorney named Theodosia, who goes by Theo, and she decides to give up her career to become a writer. And she turns up on her brother Gus's doorstep, to having quit her job to start her new life and have a place to stay. So immediately her writing mentor is murdered and Gus is the prime suspect, and so Theo has to clear his name, but the murdered author left clues to solve their murder, and as Theo gets involved, she's the one who ends up needing saving. And I'm leaving out a ton of stuff that the description included, because it just sounds very meta, and it's hard to describe things that are meta in a very succinct way. So I went simple. And that was sort of the construct of her last book, that it had all these commentary, or all this commentary on the mystery genre as a whole, and then also was just like playing around with plot structure. And I just loved that. I think it's super creative, and this sounds great to me. So that is The Mystery Writer by Solari Gentile.
Yeah, I wanted to read The Woman in the The Woman in the Library. That's what it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
Just never got to it. So maybe I'll start with this one and then go back and read that one if I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, my next one is Anita DeMonte Laughs Last by Xochiel Gonzalez. And this also came out on March 5th. So if it sounds interesting, you can read it. The author wrote Olga Dies Dreaming, which came out a year or two ago and got a lot of really, really good buzz, lots of positive reviews. This is going to be a theme. I did not get around to reading it, but people are saying this one is even better. So, and the topic of this is very intriguing to me. So it sounds like it's a dual timeline sort of story. So in 1985, Anita DeMonte is an artist. She's sort of up and coming, gaining a lot of acclaim, and she is found dead one day. And there are some questions about, I think it's whether she maybe fell or was pushed from some sort of height, a window, I think. And there was some speculation that her husband, maybe, who was also an artist, maybe wasn't super happy about her success. But then a few years later, she has completely faded from people's memories. Nobody is talking about her anymore. It's not like she has left a legacy with her artwork the way other artists do. So then in 1998, Raquel is a third year art history student, and she stumbles on this story about Anita and decides to delve into trying to figure out what really happened. And it seems like maybe Anita's husband was responsible for her murder, and Raquel is starting to see some similarities in her own relationship, which seems like maybe has a little bit of an imbalance of power with somebody else in the art world. So it seems like maybe, you know, lots of similarities there between what happened to Anita and what Raquel is going through, which makes her even more invested in the story. This is evidently based on a real woman.
Oh, wow.
Right. So the Anita character. And so it just seems like an interesting mix of biographical fiction, a little bit of intrigue and mystery, also some larger themes maybe around women's ambitions or how they're trivialized by others in certain industries. So I don't know. It just sounds really, really interesting and intriguing to me. And that is Anita DeMonte Laughs Last by Xochiel Gonzalez.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I'm kind of in the same boat where I never got to it last year, but I think that plot sounds more up my alley.
Yes, yeah.
Next is a very strange book. It's Someone You Can Build a Nest In by John Wiswell. And it's a fantasy horror that it just sounds weird, so I want to read it because it has a great cover. We'll see how this goes. It's about a shape-shifting monster named Sheshishin, and she lives in an abandoned manor house, and she is being hunted by humans, so she transforms into a human form to escape. So she is chased off a cliff by the hunters and injured, and she's taken in by a human woman named Homily, who is very kind and just a very good person, and Sheshishin decides that she would be the perfect place to lay her eggs so they can hatch inside of Homily and eat her from within. And this will, like, you know, perpetuate her lineage. But then they fall in love. And so it turns out that Homily is actually a monster hunter who doesn't know that she's in love with a monster. And so I don't even know what to say about this book. It just sounds so interesting and strange. And I like that people are very creative and, yeah, I remember hearing about this in a publisher meeting and just thought this is something I need to read because I don't know what to think of it. So that is Someone You Can Build a Nest In by John Wiswell.
See, here's the difference between you and me. You hear exactly. About a book that you think sounds weird and you're like, sign me up. And I hear it sounds weird and I think, nope, not for me.
I thought this was such not a Hallie book when I was writing this description.
The next one sounds very much like a Hallie book that on my list. It's Happily Never After by Lynn Painter. It comes out March 12th. And I recently read Betting on You by Lynn Painter, which is a teen romance. And it was absolutely adorable. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. It was based on When Harry Met Sally, which is a movie I love and have loved for many years. But it also felt not like a carbon copy of the movie. It was definitely inspired by versus just a direct adaptation. Mm-hmm. And it really made me want to read more from this author. She writes both adult and teen romances. And it seemed like perfect timing that this book was coming out so soon after I read Betting on You. This one is an adult romance, and the premise sounds really fun, I think. The main characters, the hero and heroine, are professional objectors, which means they can be hired to go to weddings. And when the officiant says, "Does anyone here have a reason that these two should not be married?" or whatever that phraseology is, they will speak up and stop the wedding, which I just think is so funny. Anyway, so they're both cynical people. It sounds like they are kind of anti-love, anti-marriage, and they've both been burned in the past. And so as the two start working more closely together, their paths keep crossing since they're both in this, can you call it an industry? I don't know. But if they're both in this profession, the more the sparks start to fly between them. And it just sounds so fun to me. That is Happily Never After by Lynn Painter.
Okay, next is Bless Your Heart by Lindy Ryan. And it comes out on April 9th. And this is set in Texas in 1999, where the women of the Evans family have run a funeral parlor in their small town for generations, and everything is operating as normal until a newly deceased woman rises from the dead, and they realize that they're going to have to stop pretending to run a regular funeral home and take up their stakes as vampire hunters like they were born to do. And This is one of my favorite covers of the publishing season, because it's a cartoon cover that's just very Southern woman. And I think that I'm learning that I'm increasingly enjoying light horror similar to Rachel Harrison, who we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast. And so this sounds like just kind of a fun romp. So that is Bless Your Heart by Lindy Ryan.
Okay, my next one is The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo. It comes out April 9th also. And I will be honest, I did not know anything about this book when I pre-ordered it, because all I needed to know was that it was by Leigh Bardugo. But I feel like that wouldn't be particularly persuasive to tell our listeners. So I did end up going now and looking up what it's about. It is set in 16th century Madrid. And the main character, and I don't quite know if you say her name, Luzia, maybe, Cortado, is, I think what is, and I think you're reading this, right? So you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think sort of like a scullery maid in a house.
Right.
She's referred to as a scullion in the description, so I wasn't quite sure, but I think that's how I interpreted it. And her life is kind of full of drudgery, and she is able to perform magic. So throughout her days, she performs little bits of magic just to make her life easier, but she keeps it hidden because for lots of reasons. It's during the Spanish Inquisition, and you don't want to come to the attention of the inquisitors, and she is Jewish, and so she definitely wants to kind of hide herself a little bit. But one day, the mistress of the house discovers that she has this talent, and she demands that she uses her powers to help the family's social standing. Luzia does, but then she's discovered by a man. So as she's doing these things to make the family's social standing improve, she comes to the attention of more people. She's more noticeable than if she were just living life as a scullery maid. And there's a man who is the disgraced secretary of the king who notices her, and he wants her help to get back in the king's good graces. My impression is by influencing the war that's happening. And so it sounds just very atmospheric, very suspenseful, because it sounds like the Inquisition is just sort of hanging over the story at all times. I just trust Leigh Bardugo infinitely to create a lush, interesting story. So that's The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo.
I'm reading that right now, as you said, and so far I'm about where you stopped saying plot, and it is very, very, very atmospheric, and I have not had a lot of time this week to read, and I have hated that, because this is a book where that says so much about her, where she has really dense, her world building is really dense, and so it sometimes is not the easiest in those types of books to just like jump right in. Right. Like, it takes a minute to sort of acclimate, and this is one where I was like, oh, I just want to live in this space, and I feel immersed in it immediately, so I'm very into it.
Well, and one of the benefits of doing these preview episodes with a shorter time span is there are more professional reviews out of the books. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when we do these preview episodes, there'd be something coming out in 6 months that there would be basically no information about. For this one in particular, it already has 4-starred reviews in professional publications.
Wow.
So as I did go and look up what it was about, because I hadn't done that before, I was even more excited thinking of all this acclaim that it's getting. Indicates that usually if a book gets that many starred reviews, it's pretty sure that I'm going to like it. So
yeah.
Okay, what's your next one?
So next is another book that we are both equally excited about. It's Funny Story by Emily Henry.
Oh, it's
and
so good.
It's so good. We have both read this one already. So this was my top pick my top priority for my committee reading this year, and I'm super, super glad I prioritized it, because it's incredible. It is about a children's librarian named Daphne who is engaged to a man named Peter, and she uproots her life to move to his small hometown in Michigan. And it's a very charming, like, kind of hip but mm-hmm. cute town.
Mm-hmm.
So she thinks that everything is great until his best female friend, Petra, confesses her love to Peter, and he immediately dumps Daphne to be with her. So the only person who understands what's going on and this terrible position that Daphne is in is Petra's likewise dumped ex-boyfriend, Miles, and he has a newly empty room, and Daphne needs a place to stay, so they move in together. And pretty quickly, they are invited to Peter and Petra's wedding, and are just horrified that things have moved this quickly. And Daphne is on the phone with Peter, and she impulsively tells him that she and Miles are now together. And Miles loves this idea of a fake relationship for revenge. So he realizes that Peter never showed Daphne anything in the town, and basically just she went to work and she went home to hang out with Peter, and that was essentially it. And so he decides that they're going to have adventures all summer and document it for social media in the lead up to this wedding at the end of the summer. So I think that this is kind of the most ridiculous plot of any Emily Henry book. I can't think of one that is more ridiculous, but it's also the book of hers that made me cry the most.
Yep.
I adored this. So I think that having sat with it for a week, I think I can still say this is my favorite of hers so far. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you are at all inclined to read Emily Henry, or yeah, even if you're not, you should read it. It's great. It's Funny Story by Emily Henry.
Yeah, I think I know there are some people that weren't as big of fans of Happy Place as her previous books because, well, I won't speculate. I just know that there were some people. And I think that this book will bring people back to Emily Henry if they weren't mm-hmm. thrilled with Happy Place. It feels a little bit more like some of her first books to me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this so much. I also cried. And it is a ridiculous plot, but it's somehow believable the way
she builds it
and she builds the characters. Because basically, the main character's panicking and she's on the phone with her ex. And she just blurts out, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm dating Miles. And yes, of course, we'll come to your wedding kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Without thinking about it. And then I think just the way the story plays out, it just really, it felt believable, even though, yeah. Do you know anyone who's ever fake dated? No. But yeah. It somehow feels believable, and it was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah. He calls her because they sent the invitations, and then he calls to make sure she's okay.
Yeah.
And that was very believable,
yes,
to me.
Yes.
Of just the guy, yeah. The magnanimous, I did something terrible, but I'm going to be very magnanimous and make sure that you're okay with the right. terrible thing I did.
Was right. Oh, yeah.
Quite true to life. And yes. So I love that her response was just to go off the rails.
Okay, so for my next one, we're going to kind of stay in the Emily Henry world a little bit, and I'll explain why. This is How to End a Love Story by Yulin Kwong. It comes out April 9th, and this is Yulin Kwong's debut novel. However, she is the screenwriter for the adaptation of People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry.
Oh.
And she's the director of Beach Read, the movie adaptation. So very much in the Emily Henry universe. And I have a good feeling about this one because I feel like somebody who is drawn to adapting Emily Henry's work might be an author that also matches my tastes. I don't know if that's faulty logic, but it just, I don't know, it works in my head. So this is about Helen, who's the author of a popular series of teen books, and Grant, who is a screenwriter. And they knew each other when they were younger. I think they were in school together. But they haven't seen each other in many years because Grant was driving when there was an accident and Helen's sister was killed. So for years, Helen's family has hated Grant for what he did. Although it sounds like what happened was Helen's sister was walking and hit by the car, and it's possible she put herself in the path of the car. Mm. And so it wasn't Grant's reckless driving necessarily, from my interpretation. And then Helen's books are getting adapted into a TV show, and Grant is offered a job as one of the writers. So he hesitates because he knows that this is going to bring him back into Helen's world, and he knows how she and her family feel about him, but he needs a job. So it sounds like he does accept the offer, and they end up working together. From everything I can tell, it sounds like a pretty emotional read. So it is a romance, but it sounds like it's a pretty angsty romance. So that is How to End a Love Story by Yulin Kwong.
Love, like oh, this is like people in media who then write books,
yes,
too, or like that's just always an interesting flow between creative spaces.
Yeah,
I think that's fun.
Well, and I was not the biggest fan of Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld last year, but I did really mm-hmm. like the behind the scenes of writing of the TV show, which was Saturday Night Live copy kind of thing. So I just think even getting the little behind the scenes details about how a book is adapted into a TV show, which obviously this author knows pretty well,
right,
that will be an interesting aspect of this book.
Yeah. Next is The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean, and it comes out on May 7th. And I really loved her last book, Mika in Real Life. So this is a hard pivot from relationship fiction to a thriller. And so I was immediately like, well, this is fun. It's about Detective Chelsea Calhoun, and she has devoted her career to finding missing women after her own sister disappeared and was never found. She learns that a missing girl named Ellie Black has suddenly reappeared and has been found alive in the woods outside of, actually don't know if it's in Seattle, but in Washington State. But she knows that something is strange because Ellie won't say what happened to her or who took her or pretty much anything. And Chelsea feels like she can't let this go because of her sister and because she needs to stop whoever is doing this, whoever took Ellie from doing it again. So I picked this less because of the plot and more because I'm intrigued by authors who write widely. And which seems to be happening more and more in publishing right now. Her last book received a fair amount of attention, and so I think it's a really interesting choice to do something completely different and thriller. Seems like the right route to go after doing relationship fiction. So that is The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
So I saw this book, and I saw the author's name, and I thought to myself, I think that's the person who wrote Mika in Real Life, but at the same time, it might not be, because it's such a different kind of book, and I had to go look it up to see, because it just felt like, I mean, obviously people contain multitudes, so you don't have to write the same thing every time, but that's a pretty big switch.
Right. Well, and especially for doing well in one genre than to say, and not to be like, oh, I'm Emily Henry and I've done a bunch in one genre and I'm really successful, or like Allie Hazelwood, mm-hmm. I'm going to do something different because I have the clout to be able to do that now. It just is interesting that she has, I know that she wrote YA, but then I don't know if she did a lot in the adult world to make that switch. So anyway, I think it's interesting.
Okay, my next one is Real Americans by Rachel Kong. It comes out April 30th. And Kong wrote Goodbye Vitamin, which I love. Did you read that book?
I don't think so. But I remember talking about it at some point.
Yeah,
so
I think
it came
out. Sometimes
it makes me think I did.
2017 maybe. And this is, I believe, her follow-up. I don't think she's written anything in the meantime. But that was kind of more of a, I don't want to say a quiet story, but it was about a woman moving back home after she ends her engagement. She's sort of at a crossroads in her life, and her dad is going through some medical stuff where he's losing his memory, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. So she moves home, and it's all about grief, and there's a lot of humor to it, and it's just a very well done book, but kind of just about this one woman and then her parents. So this new one sounds more epic in scope, I would say, or more sweeping, because it follows three generations of one family. So it starts with a woman who is 22, Lily, who gets pregnant, and sounds like she is Chinese American and the father of the baby is white, and when the baby is born, he looks completely white. So there's some discussion there about how that makes her feel and what that means for their relationship and different things. And then it jumps ahead about 20 years, and we follow the story of her son, the baby that we saw being born. He doesn't quite understand his own identity due to the things that I just mentioned from his parenthood. And so he starts trying to explore that. And in that process, meets his grandmother, May. So then we get her story, where she is growing up in becoming an adult in 1960s China, and sort of how what happens in her life, and then how that impacts her daughter, Lily. So that's an interesting structure, right? It's not chronological. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it in a different way. And so that makes me think we will learn things throughout the story that will then make sense as we go back and learn May's story. So it sounds like an interesting structure. I'm really excited about this one. A different podcast I listened to, the host has already read this, and she compared it to Ya Jassi, how they did Homegoing first, which was like this epic story, and then a much smaller. That sounds like a negative, but then their second book was more focused on a singular family, and this
like
is almost
more intimate.
More intimate. So then this is sort of the opposite, where the first story was more intimate, and then this is a little bit of a more sprawling story. So that is Real Americans by Rachel Kong.
That sounds fascinating.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Next is Black Shield Maiden by Willow Smith and Jess Hendel, and it comes out on May 7th. And yes, it's that Willow
I was Smith. Just going to say, are we talking about the same Willow Smith?
Yes, which is exactly. So it's about a young woman named Yafu who is stolen from the Ghanaian Empire by Vikings, and she is taken north to be a slave to a shy princess named Freydis, and they slowly become friends and begin to dream of futures for themselves. And for Freydis, that means to be more than just a woman in a marriage, and for Yafu, it's to become a shield maiden, which is a female warrior. That's pretty much all I know about this, and I really have no idea what to expect. I picked this because it surprised me so much when it was presented at a publisher meeting. Celebrity books are not uncommon, but the topic of doing Viking historical fiction with an African perspective, just I can't wrap my mind around how this like, I want to know all of the discussions that led to this book. So I figured other people need to know about this too. So that is Black Shield Maiden by Willow Smith and Jess Hendel.
That's fascinating. You'll have to let me know if you read that.
Yeah.
All right. My next one is Happy Medium by Sarah Adler. It comes out April 30th. So this is what I was referring to in the sort of introduction as we were chatting about. I read Sarah Adler's debut last summer, Mrs. Nash's Ashes. And I was I was so impressed by it because it felt very assured for a debut. It was funny and sweet, a little bit spicy. It was moving. It just had all these elements that I felt really worked well together. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And this one sounds a little different. That one was definitely just a straight up contemporary romance or rom-com. This one has a little bit of a supernatural bent to it. So it is about a woman who pretends to be a spirit medium. It sounds like she comes from a family who they're kind of all con artists in some way. And so she pretends to be a spirit medium, but she feels okay about that because what she does is she tries to make people's lives better somehow through pretending. And she is hired to go perform an exorcism on a goat farm to get it prepared for sale. But she's not hired by the actual owner of the farm. She's hired by somebody else who she's worked with before. And she shows up and she's like, sure, I'll go do this. I need the money. It sounds like a nice little vacation. I'll go. So then when she shows up, she's picturing some old man who can't handle the farm anymore. And when she shows up, it's this hot guy who owns the goat farm. And she discovers there really is a ghost on the property and she can see the ghost. So now she's in a pickle because has to exorcise this ghost from the farm. And she doesn't have that ability. She is not actually the spirit medium. So it just sounds really fun and funny. Again, I as soon as I read Mrs. Nash's Ashes last year, I thought, I can't wait to see what this person does next. And this is it. It's Happy Medium by Sarah Adler.
Yeah, this one looked really, really cute when I heard about it. And just a fun take.
Yep.
Okay, my last one is The Gunkle Abroad by Stephen Rowley. Yay! And it comes out on May 21st, and we, of course, were both big fans of The Gunkle, and that was a book that I didn't think needed a sequel, but then I was really excited when I heard about this new book. Yeah. So Patrick O'Hara is The Gunkle, and he has reinvigorated his life from what was going on in the first book, and he has found new professional success with a show called Gunkle Knows Best, which is great. And he is overall pretty happy, but he is single and he's about to turn 50, which is sort of making him think about his life. His brother Greg, who in the first book, the basic plot is that his brother had married Patrick's best friend, and then she dies of cancer and he has to take care of his niece and nephew. Just as a reminder, so Greg is now getting remarried and is having a big wedding at Lake Como in Italy. And Patrick is worried about how this is going to impact his niece and nephew, Maisie and Grant, who he took care of in the first book. And so he decides to go to Lake Como I'm sure he's invited to, but but that's part of his reasoning. Wants to help them out. And so I think that this will make for signature Stephen Rowley style hijinks, which actually have a lot of depth to them and sort of propel you along with a frothy plot that makes you feel a lot of feelings. Mm-hmm. So I really hope I love this as much as I love the first book. I'm happy to be back with these characters. So I think, I hope it's good. And that is The Gunkle Abroad by Stephen Rowley.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that one too. All right, my last one is Lies and Weddings by Kevin Kwan. Comes out May 21st. And I have already read this one, so I'm cheating a little bit. I read it to review for a book list. So,
oh, fun.
I think Kevin Kwan is really just so In case you don't know, Kevin Kwan wrote the Crazy Rich Asians trilogy and then has wrote a previous book called Sex and Vanity, I think. Anyway, so I think he is really, really good at telling stories about rich people where he is definitely poking fun at them and making them look a little bit ridiculous, but you also care about the characters, which I think takes real skill because it's you wouldn't want to just read, or I wouldn't just want to read a book that makes fun of people the whole time. That wouldn't compel me to keep going. So I don't know. I just think he's really adept at doing that. I don't know that he gets quite enough credit for that balance. So this one is about the Greshams, who the father of the family is a duke, the mother is a former supermodel, and then they have three kids, I think. And they live on three adult children, and they live on this big estate in England. And it's the typical tale as old as time of English nobility. They have the titles, they have the land, they have no cash. They have spent basically all of their money because they live the super extravagant lifestyle. And now they are, I mean, are they truly broke? Probably not. But for them, they don't have any money. So the mother of the family comes up with a plan. Her son is a very eligible bachelor because he's from this noble family. And also he's kind of social media famous. He had a picture or video that went viral of him surfing, and so he's kind of known. And so she thinks she's going to put him in the path of a very wealthy woman and that they will fall in love and get married, and then they will have money through her. There's one problem though, which is that the son, whose name is Rufus, is actually in love with the girl literally who grew up next door on their estate. She is the daughter of the doctor that lived there. And they grew up as sort of like family friends. You know, they're always just sort of around each other, and they grew up. And then now that they're adults, he has fallen in love with her. This is just such fun. I would say if you want a good book to take on vacation, this would be a great one because it's light and fun, but it's got enough story to keep you really engaged. It opens with a wedding in Hawaii at an Echo resort where there's also a volcano that's about to erupt, and the wedding ends up ending in disaster, and then the story just goes from there, and it goes all around the world. It is based on a 19th century novel by Anthony Trollope called Dr. Thorne. Have you read that?
No, but I have it.
You can definitely see the influences of a 19th century novel here. Like, there are lots of coincidences that happen, and I don't know, you just really, you can tell that it's based on a 19th century novel, so, which I loved. Like, that's a good thing to me that it is. So that's Lies and Weddings by Kevin Kwan.
So is this supposed to be sort of the same series as Sex and Vanity?
So
because that was based on
A Room with a View. Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
So that is an excellent question. It's possible that there are cameos from, in fact, I think actually probable that there are cameos from characters from that book, but you certainly don't have to have read it.
Right, right,
you know, like, it's not, I read that book, I don't remember much of it. I liked it, but I don't remember much of it. And I read this book, and it was just fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was totally not.
Yeah.
You didn't need that knowledge of the previous book.
Right, right, right.
But my guess is they're like Easter eggs, kind of, where
right.
either references to the characters or they show up. Because there's lots of, like I said, it opens with a wedding, and then there are lots of events and things where all these rich people gather. So my guess is the characters pop up.
Fun.
Yeah. Okay, wow. I am so excited about all of these books. This is going to be a very good spring of reading. And we will be right back with what we're reading this week. Okay, Anne, what are you reading this week, other than The Familiar, which we know?
So I actually just finished this last night, it turned out, but it is Shut Up, This Is Serious by Carolina Ixta. And this is a book that I'm, it's a YA book that I'm trying to get in for my mock prints book club before things get too crazy with committee reading. And I'm very happy that I made time for this one because I ended up liking it quite a bit. It's about a high school senior named Belen who is very smart, and she knows she's smart. Her friends know she's smart, and she goes to high school in Oakland, but she just doesn't care about anything. She doesn't see the point of working like crazy to get into college like her best friend Letty. And she basically just wants to find a boyfriend and lose her virginity as a distraction, because no one at home seems to care anymore about what she does after her father abandoned the family a year ago. And she lives with her mother and her older sister, and they just are, she's just kind of on her own. And her extended Mexican family sees this situation with her father as the fault of Belen's mother. So she is very outspoken and flirty, and she's seen as a bad influence in her friend Letty's life. But Letty is actually the one who ends up getting pregnant, and she can't tell her parents because her boyfriend is black and her parents are racist. So Belen is determined to help Letty achieve her dream of going to Berkeley and helping her through this pregnancy and sort of keeping her on track, even as she doesn't care anything about what happens in her own life. So one night, she persuades Letty to go to a college party, and she meets a guy named Alexis there. And Alexis might actually make something interesting happen in her life for once. And so she's pretty stoked about this encounter that she has with him. Everyone else she knows in her high school is driven and is working hard. And so no one can really understand when Belen is clearly smart, why she won't do her homework and why she won't show up to class. So as much as she just wants to drift and be okay with this, even as the people around her seem so annoyed that she's making such dumb choices, she can't seem to shake the feeling that she should care more about life than just impressing Alexis and helping her friends, but she should actually be trying to achieve her own dreams instead of being left behind, like she's starting to feel is going to be the trajectory for her life. So I don't feel like I read a lot of YA fiction about people who are just coasting.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like this character would usually be someone who is very driven but is held back by difficult circumstances, which is more of what's going on with her friend Letty. But I love that this is a character that is typically what is a side character, and that it fleshes her out and explains what happened to her to make her into a person that stops caring about what happens to her. I thought this had really deep characterization, but is very easy to read. I think a lot of issues books that are, which I do issues in air quotes because that's how we talk about them in the library world. A lot of those books in YA, especially things that are sort of being considered for prints nominations, tend to feel very literary and sort of like they're meant for adults a little bit more than they're meant for teens. Mm-hmm. But this just really pulled me along. It has a lot of characters that you can easily believe are realistic teenagers who are making stupid decisions, but also are very relatable and endearing. And this kind of took me a minute to get into, probably more from circumstances of wanting to read The Familiar all the time. I thought it was very, very well done. And this is a debut, and I thought that it was very self-assured in ways that sometimes debuts can sort of bite off more than they can chew. This felt very realistic to how life actually goes. So that is Shut Up, This Is Serious by Carolina Ixta.
So do you think it's a contender for the prints?
I mean, I'm not a YA or a teen librarian, mm-hmm. so I sort of hesitate anytime. Anytime we do our voting, I'm like, you guys know better than I do.
Right.
I don't know what I know what I like, and I know what I think is a great book. And sometimes I've been right, and sometimes I've been wrong. But I sort of feel like this is a perspective I haven't seen as often. And so I think it could be, but mm-hmm. I'll be curious about what my friends say this week when we meet for the discussion.
Okay, what I am reading this week is The Hunter by Tana French.
Yeah.
It's so good. And
I don't know if I've mentioned that I really love Tana French.
I think maybe once or twice. But so I was actually telling you earlier that after I read after I read Funny Story by Emily Henry, that I just knew whatever I read next was going to pale in comparison. So yeah. I moved on to this because you can count on Tana French to give a very good story. And she just is amazing. Every time I read her books, like, I think I know that she's amazing, but then I read it and it's even better than I had it in my head. So this book picks up after the event that happened in her last book, which I actually didn't realize when I picked up this book. I thought it was a standalone, but it is with the same characters that were in her previous book, which was called The Searcher. I don't know that you have to have read The Searcher before you would read this one, but I do think it gives a lot of context that I think it's probably important to know those things to read this book. So okay. I think you could, but I think you will appreciate this book and understand character motivations a little bit better if you read the previous book. So it's about Cal, who is an American who has come to a really small village in Ireland to retire. He came about 2 years before, and he's just wanting to live this quiet life. And he was the main character in the previous book, too, I should say. And in the previous book, you saw him develop a relationship with Trey, who is a teenager whose brother had gone missing. And so Trey shows up asking for Cal's help since Cal is a retired policeman. So at the start of this book, Trey's dad shows up, and he has been an absent father for several years. He's just kind of disappeared from their lives, but that's pretty typical of him. You get the impression he's a very kind of charming guy, but a bit of a layabout where he can't really hold a job. He always has some sort of kind of get rich quick scheme that he's working on, and people in the village know that about him. So he shows up and everybody's sort of happy to see him, but kind of resigned that he probably won't stay that long. Trey certainly is not thrilled to have him back. The assumption of everybody is he'll come. There's some reason that he's come back, which he isn't being forthcoming about, and that soon enough they'll figure it out. And then whenever he gets whatever he needs, he'll move on and leave again. It becomes apparent pretty quickly that what the scheme is that this man, Johnny, has met a rich Englishman in Dublin. I think, I don't know that it matters. He's met this rich businessman who has Irish heritage and whose grandmother always told him stories about this village where Johnny is from, and that there was gold buried in the hills of this village. So Johnny convinces the majority are men, all the men of the village, that they should go along with this idea that there's gold buried in the hills and really kind of play it up for this rich guy and really play up the Irishness of it and, you know, bring him to the pub and they'll sing Irish songs and they'll just totally make it this, like, this man's dreams of what Ireland is. What he's proposing is that they basically swindle this guy so that he pays them money to dig on their land to try to find this gold that everybody basically knows is non-existent. So I think that's all I'm going to say. It goes from there. You know that it can't be quite as simple as that from the get-go. And Tana French is just so amazing at kind of seeding her stories and her characters with these little things that kind of seem insignificant, but then as the story goes on, you realize they're actually really important. And mm-hmm. she just is so masterful at that. And if I were to tell you, you know, exactly what's happened in the plot in the first half of the book, it sounds like kind of nothing has happened, but at the same time, so much has happened. And it's sort of a mm-hmm. page turner, even though it doesn't have that, like, a thriller, fast paced sort of sense to it. You still are like, there's just so much tension that you want to find out what's happening next. So it's so good. It's so good. It's The Hunter by Tana French.
Sold.
But you have to read The Searcher first.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go back and list off all the books we mentioned today.
Okay. I talked about The Silver Bone by Andre Kirkov, The Mystery Writer by Solari Gentile, Someone You Can Build a Nest In by John Wiswell, Bless Your Heart by Lindy Ryan, Funny Story by Emily Henry, The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean, Black Shield Maiden by Willow Smith and Jess Hendel, The Gunkle Abroad by Stephen Rowley, and what I'm reading this week is Shut Up, This Is Serious by Carolina Ixta.
And I talked about The Great Divide by Christina Enriquez, Anita de Monte Laughs Last by Xochil Gonzalez, Happily Never After by Lynn Painter, The Familiar by Leigh Bardugo, How to End a Love Story by Yulin Kwong, Real Americans by Rachel Kong, Happy Medium by Sarah Adler, Lies and Weddings by Kevin Kwan, and what I was reading this week is The Hunter by Tana French. All right, we would love to hear if there are any books you are excited about that are coming out this spring. I have mentioned this to Anne before, but I think it'd be super fun at the end of a season to go over how many of these books we actually read.
So I was actually very impressed, because I just took my notes from my outline from the last one we did and took everything out. And I had read a good chunk of them. That was unusual for me. So
if that's something,
I was proud of myself.
Yeah, if that's something you'd be interested in, let us know. I'd be curious if that's something people would like to hear. But yeah, if you'd like to give us any feedback, you can reach us at wellreadpod@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook or Instagram at wellreadpodcast. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or your other podcast provider of choice. Our theme music is Kitten by Poddington Bear. We keep our show notes at wellreadpodcast.wordpress.com, where you can find a listing of every book we talked about in this and every episode. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading.